Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
and put to music by Shout Even Shy, and she's the singer too. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, chat group, big happy family that hangs out at allpoetry.com. It's a poetry site that's free to join, and if you join or are already a member, look us up on the group tab, A Team of Voices. To call and hang out with us, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we share the link to the poems that will be on the show tonight on that chat wall so that you can follow along and comment. And on that note, I think I will get this show on the road, and I will see where my big brother is, because he's not in the studio, but the dynamic duo is in the studio, so let me open some lines. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Kay. How are you? Long time no see. I feel like I just hung up from your show, and here we are. Glad you're here. And right behind you guys is Mr. Wayne Gent. Wayne!
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Welcome to the show. Glad you're
here. Nice to be here. Nice to be here.
And I am going to just have us dive right in, and I put Tay's poem on the board. So, Tay, if you will show us what you got. Oh, and congrats on the front page pick. Show us what you got, please.
I've got a pre-write because I've got really a lot going on. I'm going in many different directions. So for some shows, I got a new write for you. But tonight, I've got a pre-write. I felt it fits in the picture that I chose. So I call this...
That's cool. It's up here in your read, not when you wrote it.
Thank you. I call a string glen moment upon peppermint lane a chocolate chip notion. Upon the red gingham fence where moose is playing, a little thinner step upon grace in the snow, as antlers shine bright in regalness, the sounds of laughter, the crackling fire, signature the ginger snaps of home, tells a place where a gentle whisper tickles the ear, a purr and a nudge to say, wake up, Christmas is near, as we still have much to do. Though the cold morning air is still a tint of turquoise before dawn taps the glass, soundless in its drop, snowflakes ice the branches, a snip of cutouts, raining and jewels, garlanded in the hearth and strings of white, sugar cookies and dollops of kisses, peanut butter with some prints of dough, seasons of love, sprinkled in kindness, Merry Christmas, my love, and poem.
Awesome. And you know, I think that I even recognized the crayon colors throughout it, so and it does work perfectly with the art. It's just total cuteness. Upon the red gingham prints where moose's prance, a little in her, I can't even talk, a little in her, in their step upon gracing the snow, as antlers shine bright in regalness, the sound of laughter, a crackling fire. Just in the first stanza, you gave us great images. You gave us like the scent and the sound of that fire, the sound of laughter, which is like priceless no matter when. And I like the one line ones here, the signatures, the ginger snaps of home, and the soundless in its drop, snowflakes, ice, the branches. I never really thought about it, but it is so hushed that it is almost a soundless drop, not like tapping on stuff like the rain does. So the image there was really, really beautiful. And it was just like a pick-me-up hug. And then to end, Merry Christmas, my loves. It's just a beautiful share. Great to hear. Thank you. And... let me let my big brother in, and then I will have a comment from Wayne. Hey, Hatter.
I knew you.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Just about to get a couple comments for Kay. You missed her. Wayne, will you comment for Kay, please?
Yes, this is a lovely poem. It's not very hectic. It's right down the earth poem, and I like the kitty cats and kitties and Christmas delights, and you even got two lines in there that rhyme, so I tell you, it really made me happy. So great job with this, Kay. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay, please?
Yeah. Wayne stole my thunder there, because I was going to talk about those two lines that rhyme, too. It tickles a little bit, Christmas is near. I like that, too, but I like how you bring our fur babies into this as well. When you talk the tip of the whisker. It's always a great thing to wake up to, actually.
Okay.
Even if it is too early sometimes, before the tint of turquoise, before dawn taps the glass. But yeah, I thought this is a beautiful write, hon.
Thank you.
Totally agree. And I think that's a unanimous decision. If you take a peek to the right there, it's on several lists from her near and dear, so that's always a great compliment as well. Awesome share, Kay. Thank you. And Stephen, before you read yours, would you like to tell us what's going on? And hold that thought for 1 second. Kay, did you close out the do you want to talk about your challenge?
Well, I will be closing it out tomorrow at some point. I'm going to, tonight, before I go to bed, comment on a lot of them. But, yeah, in honor of 3 years of Poetic Slice of Life, I did a writing challenge, just bring one of your favorite writes, and I will be figuring out what the date of the show will be, which will be sometime this month, and saying thank you to everybody who has contributed to the shows and to the room itself.
Awesome, and another congrats on those 3 years. And Stephen, would you like to tell us what else is happening?
Let's see. Our next show over at Poetic Slice of Life is Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow. Kay found a short story called Two Thanksgiving Day Gentlemen. The story is basically about selflessness. One man always made sure to buy the other man who was poor a meal, but kept the one man from buying the meal, starving to death himself. So it's a big story about selflessness, I think. There's like quotes from the story to write to. You can write to the story itself. It's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then, like I like to joke around, the last time we did Sci Friday on Thursday, we liked it so much we're going to do it again.
Oh my God, we got things to do on Friday.
I know, but so Sci Friday will be on Thursday this week at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And Stephen had a bright idea of bringing quotes from all the captains of the Star Trek series, and we're going to start off with the man himself, James Tiberius Kirk, Captain Kirk from the original series. We have quotes from him to write to. That is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. And Sky has storyboards on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and she is going to bring the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the story of Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks. Character write, quote write, film writes. Have fun and geek out with Sky at 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. So we got.
Sounds like a whole lot of fun. And hold your thought for 1 second and let me let Linda in before you start reading. Liquid Damage, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hey, Linda.
I am good. I'm glad you're here. And you're just in time to hear Steve's poem. So grab a beanbag chair and we'll be back in a moment. Steven, show us what you got, please.
All right, well, Deb, as you like to say, I decided to show off a little bit here, so here we go. I call this Hot Dinners and Warm Wishes. Breaded pork chop chuntering leaves orts upon the fork, while mashed potato pondering is dried within the spork. Buttered green pea pouting rolls like billiards on the plate. Brown gravy waves are covering all the hungers that be sate. Temple. I left her speechless. No, she's probably muted.
Very cute.
Mute.
Yep.
Stephen, with the four liners, like the masterpiece he just shared with me a moment ago. But yeah, you know something? I'm kind of like licking my chops now. Pun intended. Breaded pork chops. I love bread and pork chops. I have this really cool, anyway, totally sidetracked. I liked the total description of the meal that's like actually torture all wrapped up in four lines, don't you think? And another one of those four-line tens. You know, the other day I tried that, and I kept switching this and checking. I'm like, nope. So, like, it's a lot harder than people might think to get four lines to come out as a 10. So, but I will, mark my words, and when I finally achieve it, I'll be like, yes, and I'll share. But the poem is really cool, and I keep getting sidetracked. I don't know why, but especially the title, Hot Dinners and Warm Wishes, it's like a hug, the title itself. So I think this was a great share, too. Appreciate it very much. And, like, you could read that other little one if you want. It's just so, so cute. And I mean, your poem was four lines, and this one is two. Do you mind if I put it up there, or you want to save it for?
If you want to put it up, that's fine.
Cool. Because I came across this photo, you guys, and it just made me think this is cute, you know. because Stephen's like a big shark slash shark week fan. So I said, you can save this for Shark Week. And the next thing I knew, I got a link. And I was like, how cool. So, and it was perfect timing with the little giggle. So, Stephen, please.
Yeah, this one isn't a 10, but I like the way it read, so I left it as is. And it's called Sweetness Found Beneath the Sound. Ominous music fills the ears with crescendo staccato beat. Dermal denticle dorsal fin is cutting through the waves. Beneath the scary surface, though, does lurk a heart of gold, harnessing a brazen look for respect deserved and craved. End poem.
That's so cute. And it's got like a little bit of attitude, harnessing a brazen look. I love the idea of the brazen look. But like there was just, I'm actually really glad you had fun with it. And the crescendo staccato beat, really fun share. And let me get you some comments over here. Now, Hatter, comment on either or both.
Yeah, it reminded me of when my fishing boat, I had found actually at the lake a dorsal fin like that I could pull behind the boat. So we were trolling. I could put that out there. I can add it out quite a ways. It was very convincing. But that was right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's cool. I want one.
Yeah. styrofoam and a piece of wood, you know. You got to put a keel on it, a little keel that makes sure it won't fly off.
That was funny. Hey, we got a shark behind you.
Thanks, Heather. Linda, what do you think?
I thought this was adorable. I love goldfish. I had a pair named Chuck and Goldie, and Chuck was gold and Goldie was black. And Chuck had a hair lip and had attitude, and I let him go once in a pond because I felt bad that he was stuck in a fish tank. And then later on, I felt bad, so I went to get him, and my friend says, you're never going to find him in that pond. And I'm saying, yeah, I will. And I put my hand in the water and called him, and he came right to me. And I picked him up in the dish, and my friend was astounded. And I said, that fish has got attitude. But this reminded me of him, and thank you for that fond memory of Chuck. It was very lovely. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank
cute.
You, Linda. I had two goldfish when
sorry,
I was a kid.
Sorry, I tracked your poetry, Stephen. Wayne, what did you think?
I think it's a wonderful brevity you got here. It's very tasty and a wonderful rhyme. And I like pork chops with mashed potatoes and gravy. I can't beat that with little peas on the side. Great meal. And I hate to be nosy, but I looked at your tens list over there, and you did 3 weeks ago, you did 12 tens in 1 week. That's incredible. I can't believe anybody could do 12 tens in 1 week, but it's amazing. Anyway, you're doing a hell of a job there, Stephen.
Thank you, Wayne.
Woo-hoo! Great comment.
You know, I gotta say one thing. On the first right, what do you think I'm having for dinner?
Not a pork chop.
Yep, mashed potatoes. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
That was weird. I can smell it. Because I sit there reading this poem, I go, I can smell it. That's so good, I can smell it.
I was going to say smell-o-vision, but I guess it's smeller radio. smell a laptop.
Smell a phone.
Anyway, Kay, will you comment for your hubby, please?
Well, yeah, for this first write, I like the picture because it really does speak of home. As I said, it sets the table lovingly per the view, warmth and happiness wonderfully speak of home, a place where everything is right and love is unlimited and being in full supply. And I like the next one she read too, because as I said, I could see through the humor. It also gives a side of truth and seeking respect and kindness, because at the end of the day, a lot of us have a look to ourselves that a lot of people can't see past. So, yeah, I think in speaking through the fish, you give a reality. It speaks to the heart of everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fantastic comments. And, okay, so let me see here. I am going to grab a poem. Now, is anyone on the line in a time crunch?
Oh,
crunch. All right, I'm going to grab Titus and put him on the board. And we will take it from there. And to Duo, if you can stay for him, that's great. If not, I appreciate you calling. And I'm about to push play. And Tony, I hope Ireland's amazing and that you're getting some great R&R. Thanks for the recordings.
Adorns a lovely drape. Divine comedy indeed, modern day. The welcoming bedroom, then come what may, with such profound standing as you, my dear. If I were to lay, suggests a peach, you'd leer. You would condone being stretched out upon courtly nuptials. The sunniest are drawn, describes a wanton bride by your bedside. Whispered dreams would hardly seem to confide, sat here. One can hardly listen closer. Encroached upon you, being more a poser. Slovenly loose covers were to be pulled back in haste, but no. As I duly gave a flimsy smack, a plumped up pillow to wallow in, as you do. Captivating ways no other man can be due a woman's pangs, their hangs of submission. A throwback to ask me for permission. But if there is any bounce in that old thing, a morning tea will do until the late spring. Literally, a retrograde we opposites attract. Within this vantage point, distraction tact rarely serves these days a corona hitched high above. I bemoan it is highly pitched.
Wow. What an awesome share. And like, I read the story, of course, of Dante and Beatrice. Well, I read the normal channel, and then I read an adult avenue as well, and for some reason this took me to that one. I know the reason, because it's the welcoming bedroom, then, come what may, with such profound standing as you might, if I were to lay, suggest a peek you'd leer. Peach, sorry. It's just gorgeous. But slightly naughty, beautifully sensual. But if there's any bounce in that old thing, a morning tea will do until the late spring, literally a retrograde. I mean, it's just the words. And I like the way, he says retrograde. I like the way he reads, period. It's just so, I get engrossed. And I liked, where's that one? A woman's pangs, there hangs a submission, a throwback to ask me for permission. I get that naughty, like, wink there. It's just, it nails the characters that you imagine of Dante and Beatrice, and it just does it quite beautifully. And I don't know what I thought when he took, you know, he made his art choice. And I thought, you know, I wonder where he's going to go. And I thought maybe it would be a B&B somewhere. But I really like this approach. I like the nod to Dante in there. And he did it brilliantly. Thank you again, Tony, Titus Llewellyn. And let me get you some comments for your beautiful poem. Kay, can you go first, please?
Kay had to step away, but... I'd be glad to leave a comment.
Would you please, sir?
Yeah, I have to agree with pretty much everything that you said, Deb. I've never seen the painting of Dante and Beatrice, but I'm going to have to take a peek at it sometime. To me, I thought that the verbiage in this piece was amazing, and I thought it kind of read like an excerpt from like a Shakespearean play or something. I thought this was great.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And again, thanks for calling and hanging out and for sharing them four-liners that keep impressing us. I guess I will see you Wednesday. And
have a good night.
You too. And Wayne, will you comment latest, please?
Yes. This has to be the best Bridge Drake poem I've ever written. I'll just do a track, and because you always want what you're not. This is a central poem when Santa Claus sets a great mood, and I thought it was a wonderful poem all the way around. Great job, Eric, Tony.
Great comment. Thanks, Wayne. And Linda, what do you think?
I thought it was absolutely beautiful, but Titus has a way of doing that. It had such warmth in his writing, and it gave the poem an honesty and realism that kind of surpassed the limits of love. But I thought this piece was beautifully written and kind of oozed with relatable criteria, which pulled me into the heart of the piece. I think he did like a real deep writing here from his heart, and it was very lovely. Thank you, Titus.
Great comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
Well, I'm not familiar with the story of Dante and who did you say? Dante and who?
Beatrice. He was like obsessed with her. They were obsessed with each other.
Okay, because I was trying to follow, not knowing where he was going when he got to the pillow. I was hoping it was going to be, and then the smack. Where is that part? I thought there were going to be a pillow fight here. Slovenly loose covers were to be pulled back in haste, but no, as I duly gave a flimsy smack. I think they had pillow fights back then. Some clumped up pillow to wallow in, as you do. I like the rhyming that he put, that he throughout the whole thing. Very good. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that story. I'll have to check it out. Dante and Beatrice. Is that the picture he was talking about? Stephen was talking about. He didn't.
At the bottom, painting. Yes, it is.
That is an opinion that it. Okay. Wow. So they became famous for being.
I was going to say it goes awesome with the painting as well as the art you chose. It's just a really excellent piece.
Yeah, it's very suggestive too. Very good.
Nice and very nice treat. Okay, now let me see here. I'm headed back to the board so that I can. And there's the board. I was having a hard time finding it. It's like the mute button wasn't unmuting and the board's moving. Okay, so let's see here. I am going to grab Wayne's poem, put it on the board, and then I will push play so we can hear his.
It's funny.
I'm just sad again. Wayne, I didn't hear you.
I said it's not a 10, but it's a humorous poem I wrote. So hope you enjoy it.
No doubt we will. But okay, I am going to push play. If you tell me you see it, Hatter. Hatter?
Yeah, I had to refresh.
And Linda, you have
it? No, did you
post
it?
No, I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I double posted Titus's poem. I don't know why it didn't pick up names. Let me try that again. Copy. page. Wayne. Okay, this is Wayne's time. There you go, guys. Sorry about that. And I'm going to push play now.
This is called Knew What to Do. Sitting at the table, what a wonderful view. Having a midday snack, just for two. Just finished picking lovely wildflowers. Must have been sitting here a couple of hours. Window swung open to breathe fresh air. Butt getting sore, sitting in a wooden chair. Lovely view, looking at mountain and lake. Thinking a wonderful picture this would make. Relaxed, sitting back, putting my mind at ease. Ask my lady for another slice of cheese. She said, sure, you don't have to reach. And why don't you have a tasty peach? Wasn't long till the breeze I could feel. Thought I'd better move away from the windowsill. Laid down the napkin I had in my lap. Asked my lady to join me to take a nap. She said she would love to, just for a while. Said don't get any ideas, as I watched her smile. As she took off her clothes, I knew what to do. Wasn't very long till I forgot the view. And
okay, there's an ending for you. He got me giggling here. There's this soft, gentle tone to the music, and you're all calm and cool and collected. And then we get down there, and it's like, okay, that was good. Now let's take it. I laid down the napkin I had in my nap and asked my lady to join me to take a nap. And you're still all matter of fact. And she said she would love to just for a while. Said, don't get any ideas. I watched her smile. And she took off her clothes. I knew what to do. It wasn't very long till I forgot the view. Oh, you're crazy, Wayne, but I love it. That was a really fun share. And I'd have to say very totally unexpected for the art, which is part of the charm. You had fun with it. I had fun listening to you. I'm still kind of giggling a little. Look at you, the midday snack turned into dessert. Fun share.
Nothing like a peach.
Just nothing like a peach. Yeah, there you go. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, a little afternoon delight, a little something-something. He went from don't get any ideas to take it off her clothes. There's no question there.
No question.
Yeah.
Cool comment.
Yeah, sometimes I worry so much.
Go ahead.
Yes. Wayne, you are so seriously funny. In a lot of your stuff, you have a way of coming off so serious, kind of like a Benny Hill skit where they're going along all like nice and then somebody drops their pants or their shirt or something. You have a way of pulling that off. So wonderful. Really a cool poem. Thank you for sharing it, sweetheart.
Thanks for the comment. That's a great comment.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. All right. You see here, that was so cool. All right, now let me see. Let me see. Let me grab another poem. All right, you know what? Linda, do you think you feel like reading for lockdown marks?
Sure.
Cool. I am putting that on the board right now. And there you go.
Okay. This is the reaping from lockdown marks. How long shall I be dreaming of this place where darkness abounds? Who shall lift me, gleaming, show me your light and heavenly sounds? Or are you the reaper coming for my eyes? None then come to douse my sorrow. Come there be such so morbid as this. A smile and a whisper could I not borrow? A scent enchanting laughter, one last kiss. O reaper, no need for a raven disguise. The wind howls at me, hurling shadows, but I am one step from the door. I think of her, and my heart slows. This loss is eating away my core. O reaper, why seek so my demise? Incessant ticking timepiece on the wall. Speed up now for this lonely lost soul. Take me from this sorrow, nice thrall. Ah, but I see, can I ever again behold? I forget, reaper, you own these night skies. Why then contemplate matters so grave? Surely shall my spirit soar again. And yet, my love, I could not save this place forever than a place of pain. Come on then, reaper, together shall we rise. In poem.
Fantastic read. Thank you. And wow.
Thank you.
None then come to douse my sorrow. Can there be such, so morbid as this, a smile and a whisper? Could I not borrow a scent, enchanting laughter, one last kiss? Wow. I'm trying to, there was an old world feel to the wording, to the content, and then the tone in your voice added to it as well. Oh, reaper, no need for the raven disguise. The wind howls at me, hurling shadows. I mean, the visuals, the tone, I think that he really set a mood with the poem that you definitely picked up as you read and enhanced it. And obviously like a poe nod. So he did a really great job. Thank you, Lockdown. And Linda, you read, what did you think?
I think it was awesomely cool. I mean, it was very deep and the imagery was really like blatantly there. The raven part of it brought out a scary aspect to it, but there was kind of a sweetness in the love he had for her. I think that the language he used in this very poetic, and it's kind of had that old English squinge to it, but very nicely done. I have to give Lars my kudos for this. It was complete and intricate and just lovely. Thanks, Lars.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I think this is a wonderful point about one's final fate. He took the Reaper in stride, and hope I can welcome the Reaper as smooth as he did. This is a nice poem with a good mood, and it's kind of somber but accepting. And I like his whole lot. He did a good job with this, and kind of makes you think about how you're going to accept the Reaper when he shows up. Great job.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, can you comment for Lockdown?
Yeah, this is a very deep, right. If there's more to it, this would be one I'd like
like to dissect. I like the single lines after the stanzas that he rhymed. Is there a name for this kind of poem?
I'm not sure, Hatter.
You know? I think there is. I think I've seen it before. I've even used it in a manner like this. Somebody called it something, but it adds a different concept to the story. Now he's definitely it's a captured soul that begging to get free. I love the line, like you had read, "Oh Reaper, no need for a raven disguise." That's a good line. You think he means he doesn't need to be disguised to go where he knows he's going to go? I think that's a deep line.
Or he doesn't have to try. Or maybe it just he doesn't have to pretend he's somebody else. He knows it's him. He's ready to go or whatever. Something like that, possibly.
Yeah, it's a sad poem.
Yeah. It's really versatile topic tonight, but everything from laughter to seriousness, it's been some amazing poems. Okay. Now, I have angels on the board, and I have Linda's on deck. So if you guys click on Angel's poem, I will read for her. And how do you? Thank you.
Got it.
And this poem is called Serenity House by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Morning sunbeams shine upon honeydew-tinted grass, highlighting the cobblestone path leading to our cottage. Oreo warms himself in the buttery sunshine by the garage door, lazily taking in the still, quiet morning under a misty yet canary blue sky. Daffodils and daisies line the pathway. Butterflies flit about amongst them, playing hopscotch with one another. This is our haven, the home we dubbed Serenity House, with a champagne toast all those years ago, as doe-eyed newlyweds. And the blessing is, after 50-plus years, it's still our house of serenity. End poem. Oh, I love this. I really love this one. After 50 years, that's fantastic. And I see it's like multiple award winner. It's easy to see why, that the sentiment is oozing from it, that the imagery is beautiful, the feel is pure romance, and the ending is like the bow on top. After 50 years, it's still the house of serenity. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous, and it's always my honor to be her reader. Thank you so much, Angel, and congrats on all those medals. That's great. Let me get you some comments. Let me go to Hatter first this time.
Thank you. I'm muted. I love the picture. It looks like an Australian Shepherd or a Border Collie, probably. I know that I used to have Aussies or Border Collies, and they are the most curious animals. You can watch them, and they try to figure things out. What is a butterfly? What is it doing? Why is it going? Where is it going? You know, they don't go around killing things, but they are very curious animals. That's what it reminded me of. And through the whole piece, I had that image in my head. But the last line, and the blessing is after 50 plus years, Yeah. Nicely done. It's good to know that still happens.
Yeah, I too like the way it ends. I think that's, like I said, a very endearing ending. Great comment, Hatter. And Wayne, what did you think?
I said this is a great description of the picture prompt. She did a great job of the description of the picture prompt. It's the warm point. It makes one feel at ease with the words she used. Butterflies playing hopscotch is nice. I can see them doing that. That's what they do, it looks like. He did a great job on this, right? I think it's a wonderful poem. Good job.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Wayne. And then, Linda, will you comment on the poem and then read your poem for us?
Sure. This was beautiful. It had such a warm, kind of glowy feeling to it. Made me feel like at home. And that's what I liked about this piece, is it gave me that feeling of safety that one feels in their home. And I like at the end, and the blessings is after 50 years plus years, it is still a house of serenity. That is the most beautiful thing that can happen, that you have a home that long, number one. Not many people get to experience that, but the ones that do that can say that after 50 years is amazing. So I thought this had beautiful, bright imagery to it and energy as well. So Heavenly Angel, you really did a good job. I'm impressed. Thank you for sharing.
Beautiful comment, my dear. And if you refresh the board, you'll find your poem.
There we go. This is funny because I was writing to the prompt that Wayne chose in the beginning, and then he took it, so I had to switch pictures at the end. But this is called The Window. This morning as I laid in bed, I was thinking about today. I wasn't being lazy. That's just my Monday way. After several moments of pondering, I sat up straight in bed. And there he was, God himself, so I listened to what he said. God opened up my window and said, "Love, let's take a look outside." So I got up and I stretched my bones. Then I opened my eyes quite wide. Then I saw the colors there to view and appreciate. God definitely had a plan to broaden up my faith. The greens that were abundant were the plants and trees, evergreen and forest, lime and celery. My roses dressed in crimson and some in pretty pink. Some were white, edged in green, the coolest ones, I think. The lake outside spoke to me in cobalt and sapphire, as the grays and silvers tints of the church's spires. The hills and dales covered much o'er the countryside, like tapestries of brown and reds that left me satisfied. Then the colors of the sky pierced me through the heart. Peacock, teal, and tangerine is where sunrise starts. Then comes violet and flamingo that ushers in like paint, then brushes stroke the yellows all very, very faint. Epilogue. A masterpiece before my eyes erupting forth its love, only our Creator paints so bright. Anticipation shakes me, enthusiasm flows. I have now truly seen the light. The ever-changing brilliance of the ever-changing view will guide me and my dreams along the way. As I travel down the road, I am astounded by God's love. So I pray to him and thank him for this lovely day. With God's grace, God paints in every rise and every set to be more brilliant than the one before, not quite as yet to see. In poem.
That like rivaled a bedtime story, like the night before Christmas kind of vibe story. for some reason for me.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just such an endearing piece. My roses dressed in crimson and some in pretty pink. Some were white edged in green. The coolest ones, I think. It was just, I know that this is one of those ones where Sweet would have said to you, oh, I would read this one to my grandson. I mean, it's just enchanted. The rhyme, the flow, the story, the feel. Damn, Linda, this is just, I don't know how else to put it except that it's a beautiful bedtime story. It is a fantastic piece. The Window.
Thank you.
You really need to publish, dear heart. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, this is spot on. The Rhyming Queen. You read it so well. You don't know what's rhyming because it's so smooth. And when I get stuck, can I call you for help? I need a line, man. and I do. I had to laugh when I thought that God says love. Hey, love. Hey, love. God opened up the window and said, love, let's take a look outside. You're probably an English accent, huh? God.
Yeah.
Hey, love. I thought that was funny.
You do that well.
Great.
Thank you, Hatter.
Great. Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I think this is a wonderful spiritual poem that gives God the credit he or she deserves. It's got the 18 colors you used wonderfully. It's got great rhyme, and it's a poem to think about and be thankful. Great job with this, Linda. I love it.
Thanks, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Such a sweet comment. Aw. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I was just about to say we have three recordings and crystals, and I look over here and see Hope in the studio. Hey, welcome to the show, Crystal. Happy you're here.
Hey, Crystal.
You are here with Hatter and I, and Wayne and Linda. And I have three recordings left, and then I have your poem. So I'm going to grab your poem for you now. Did you happen to hear? No, I guess you were there 20 seconds. You couldn't have heard Linda's. But really, get a chance to listen to this show. You should, because we've had laughter and everything in between. And Linda just enchanted us with a bedtime story. So it's been like an amazing night. Anyway, your poem is on the board. So show us what you brought.
All right. Yeah, I really actually was excited to see a lot of the poems because I liked a lot of the pictures. I had another one of those night or days when I was like, what picture do I want?
I
Muddy Paw Prints.
Sorry.
It's called Muddy Paw Prints and Footprints on Grandma's Carpet. And there we go. Ragdolls dance on the hardwood floor as their emerald velvet dress brushes dirt. Chestnuts roasting smoke onto rock walls as cat paws stretch on out to her skirt. Her black buckled shoes squeaked on the rug as she tickled the fluffy furry ears. Two curled tails wrapped around her ankle, meowing and purring like motorcycle gears. Feather brooms dust the mahogany chest of drawers dressed with a lacy tablecloth. Golden marble cabinets carry cornflower glass bowls filled with vegetables and chicken broth. Orange petals pattered on the couch as newspaper articles coaster a coffee mug. Grandma kisses swing to a warm hug. End poem.
Aww. Awesome. I'm gonna pick. Her black buckled shoes squeaked on the rug as she tickled the fluffy furry ears, two curled tails wrapped around her ankle, meowing and purring like motorcycle gears. I like that. the that little mini roar compared to motorcycle gear. Why can't I talk? Motorcycle gears is really, really cool metaphor. I never heard them compared before, but that's awesome. Golden
is she a biker chick?
Might be.
I was going to ask
but the golden marble cabinets carrying cornflour glass bowls filled with vegetables and chicken broth. The detail there, and you can just picture the food and the grandeur of the glass bowl and stuff. And then at the end, scooping brunette strands to the rug to a warm hug. Those brunette strands, if you don't love them, those brunette strands could drive you crazy. But no, this is really an endearing poem. And you brought life to the photo as if it took you on a memory. And I thought that was, and I love the title, Crystal. Really, really great title.
Yeah, when you start out, the ragdolls dance. You talking about the ragdoll cats? Is that what they call them?
Well, there's a doll in the picture over on the right of the corner, and it made me think there was a child, like a grandchild that was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know, how can you impress on children to enjoy and remember what they're doing at the moment? Because it'll never happen again, your childhood. You know, I remember being told, enjoy your school years, you know, because you'll grow up and you'll miss it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've all heard that. It doesn't come reality until you turn around one day and go, man, he's right. I wish I would have grasped that moment more, kept it closer to my heart. And that's what I got from the poem. Very good.
Thanks, Heather.
Aww. And before I get a comment from Wayne, let's say hi to my sweet. Hey, sweet, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys?
Sweet.
Hi,
sweet.
Your ears must be burning. I was actually just talking about you. When Linda finished reading her poem for tonight, the first thing I said to her is it was a shame that you weren't here, because your first comment would have been, oh, I would read this to my grandchild. You have to check it out, hon. But in the meantime,
all right, I will.
Cool. In the meantime, I'm going to get Wayne to do another comment on Crystal, please.
Yeah, this is a great job with this pick you did. I can see the rag doll laying down there, and this poem is a real cozy poem. I like the way you brought the doll to life, and can't go wrong with a kitty cat in a poem. Bowls are filled with veggies and chicken broth is a tasty addition. And I like the down-to-earth mood you set and the warmness in this right. Great job, Bird. See you.
Thanks, Wayne.
See you. Great comment. And Linda?
Yeah, this was very warm and endearing to me. I love the prop picture of the room. It's just so cozy. And with the two little cats sitting there on the carpet, I can just imagine in my mind how they'd play around and jump in the air and swat at each other and bring in dirt from little paw prints all over the carpet. But the imagery in this was very true to life, and I like that. It made me feel very warm and cozy inside, and it's very well written. It's very poetic, and I just think you did a really great job, Crystal. Very impressive. I really liked it. And I liked the part that Hatter said about the memories. Yeah, that comes out in this too, because you don't know when you're ever going to have that moment again. So bring it out and look at it, you know, so you remember it. But very nicely done. Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Great poem. And if you guys would click on Laughing Soul, I'll push her recording.
You reposted Hope's.
Did I? That's the second time tonight now. Yeah. Okay, give me a second. I'm taking it right here. And I'll be right there with it in just a second. And let's see if we can put the right poem on the board. And yes, okay. Click on that and I will push play.
Dawn, a poem by Laughing Soul. Ain't it the most divine at the break of dawn? Watching the cascading sunshine bathe the mediocre lawn. A flutter, a chirp, a careless whisper of the playful breeze quiesces the cacophonic darkness that enshrouds my heart forlorn. Pearl drops dance on velvet slopes as a sacred conch welcomes the goddess of morn. Azure bosom of the halcyon seas lust the dulcet nectar flowing from the chalice fawn. Enamored by this ethereal trance, I pass by a shadow too wee, the hasty snail, the buzzing bee, nudging me back to life's impending dance. So long then, my friend, till we meet again, just when the golden jewels shall the crown of horizon adorn. End poem.
Wow. And I appreciate the fact that she, about an hour before the show, she said, oh, no, I forgot to record it. And then she shot over real quick and recorded it. She said she knows that we liked hearing her voice, and that's true. So I'm thrilled that she found time to record that for us. Pearl drops dance on velvet slopes as a sacred conch welcomes the goddess of morn, azure bosom of the halcyon seas lust the dulce nectar flowing from the chalice fawn. I thought that was beautiful imagery there. And the hasty snail and the buzzing bee nudging me back to life, impending dance. The little whimsical details there of that snail and that bee, all wrapped up at the bottom, at the last line, just when the golden jewels shall the crown of horizon adorn. And it's just a beautiful ending, wrapping up the scene that's in the photo. Ain't it the most divine at the break of dawn? Yes, isn't it? It seems to be at the break of dawn and at the break of dusk, because there's just something about the light that peeks through the darkness at dusk and the colors there that's just as gorgeous. So it's just like these two little gifts, one to start a day and one to start a night. Beautiful poem. Thank you for it and the recording. And it's a multiple award-winning poem as well. Beautiful job. Let me get you some comments. Crystal, what do you think?
I had a feeling you were going to call me first, and I don't know why. But no, I really love this poem, especially like what she goes in the beginning and talking about the sunshine just kind of bathing out on the lawn. And then she gets into like the different kinds of like with the flowers and stuff like that, and just the scenery around, and then like the little buzzing bee. It just brought like this very like beautiful nature scene, and I almost could like feel the warmth of the sun, and then she like see its like glimmer on the flowers and things like that. Like she brought together like a really beautiful picture, and I really enjoyed that.
Fabulous comment, Wayne.
It's a lovely poem. I like the way she used the rhyming words that rhymed with dawn all the way through the poem. And you know, she used dawn and dawn and fawn. And she came back with dawn, morn, and forlorn. It's great rhyming words that all kind of blend together real well. Great job with poem, and I can't believe she left yawn out. Yawn at Dawn is the one that I was looking for. The word yawn, but great job with this. I enjoyed it. Good job.
And Hatter?
Yeah, you know, I thought I had what I thought was the meaning, the total meaning of the poem, until after it was finished. And then I realized this is where it explains where we go when we say goodbye to somebody who has passed on. It's a place we go to. It's private and very personal. But we can't stay there. We cannot stay there. And that's what I got when she says, it was nudging me back to life's impending deaths. In fact, I'll read that whole, enamored by this ethereal trance, I passed by a shadow to we. So the being that you've passed, you're not casting any shadows anymore. So that was a beautiful line. The hasty snail, the buzzing bee, nudging me back to life's pending dance. Looking out the window, you see where you've got to go. And we can't stay there when we say goodbye. You know what I mean? It was very, very endearing. I reread it after I got the thought in my head, and it really fits. You did a very good job describing that moment.
Yeah,
well, fabulous guy.
And my sweet, can you comment for Soul and then show us what you got?
Yes.
I have it.
You know, go ahead, Linda.
I'm sorry.
I just want
to let Deb know it. Okay. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Did I not let you comment for Soul?
Right.
Well, no, I would love you to do so before Sweet. That way she can go right into her after she comments, please. And sorry,
okay.
I forgot you. Well, I love my Soul. Everybody knows that. And this is an epic beauty by my lovely friend. Her words flow so eloquently on the page, making this piece such a piece of heart and soul hanging by a silver thread. Her awesome gift of writing is a joy to read, and every word she writes is totally of worth. She's shown this poetic family how it's done. She is a great writer. This piece was just so cool, and it kind of gave me goosebumps at the end. She has beautiful use of poetic language that makes her poetry stand out with its simplicity of heart and honest soul. What a masterpiece this is. Thank you, Soul, for sharing it.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Linda. And again, I'm sorry I skipped you. I didn't mean to. And
okay.
My sweet, will you come to Soul and read, please?
Yeah, I think she painted like this moment of time, like this memory that lingers in slow motion detail long after the sounds of reality have faded away. I thought it was actually, you know, stunning work. It was really, really beautiful.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. Now, if you would show us what you brought, that would be awesome.
All right. So this is Three Little Border Collies. Red and orange leaves invaded the garden as yellow mamas, and the wind whistled a song to the melody of a misty rain. As the morning greeted the sun, three noses decided to roam. There's a place between the front door and the garden gate where green grass meets the winding edge of gray concrete, a land where grasshoppers and lightning bugs waited to be chased. Monochrome balls of fur and tails wobbled and tumbled out the cottage door to seek adventure and explore a world of wonders to sniff, lick, bite, or ignore. The smell of curiosity captured their attention, and from the porch to the back gate they raced, jumping at the shadows of their playmates. With fresh mud on their paws, they yawned, laid down with smiles on each little face, for three little border collies learned to love the chase and poem.
Wow. You know, excuse me, sweet, the soft, loving tenderness in your voice as you read was like oozing over these puppies. I could feel the adoration there. I love the monochrome balls of fur and tails wobbled and tumbled out of the cottage door to seek adventures and explore a world of wonders, to sniff, lick, bite, or ignore. I mean, it's just so endearing. The smell of curiosity captured their attention. It captures mine too often, too. I am a nosy thing, and then on top of it, I'm a bloodhound, so it made me think of myself. and for the ending there, for three little border collies learn to love to chase. And I really thought you would have a harder time choosing than you did, but you were like, number 30, absolutely, just that one. So, I mean, it obviously it grabbed you, and it showed that it grabbed you in the words as you read them. The descriptions are great. The feel is awesome. And again, I can't emphasize enough the tenderness that came from your voice that proves how much you love them canine fur babies, for sure. Great singer. Hatter.
Thank you.
Did you think it's sweet, Paul?
Yeah, you are so lucky that you saw this before I did. I didn't see it. I was pissed. You're like, oh, look at that. That's the one. That's the one I would have chosen, for sure. Yeah, three little wiggle butts. No dog wiggles there, but be happy to see you more than an Aussie than an Aussie. And I'd like to say that's when they cut the tails off, because they would swipe everything off of every table. No, that's not why they do it. But yeah. That I can see them running out the door, playing the place between the door and the garden gate. That's really good.
Wiggle. Thank you, Hatter.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Hatter. But how bad is it that I'm giggling that you're jealous that she got that picture before you? Leads me to a segue to say, hey, get there and pick your art before everybody takes the one you wanted. But no, it's great.
I said I would do that last one of the last shows, and I didn't do it. And as far as sweets, gentle side, you read that so pretty and so nice, but I don't buy it. I know the dark side. Nice chat.
There's no blood, no guts, no dying. Cute little dogs.
Not when it's the dogs, right? Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I think sweet. You should make a great dog owner. And you said sniff, lick, bite, or ignore. That is a dog's world. And I like the way you had the dogs laying down and take a nap with a smile on their face. That's pretty cute. And you know, you should think about getting a puppy. You'd be a good dog owner.
Oh, okay.
You want to try that out, sweet? No.
Yeah,
sweet.
I ought to try that out.
That'd be a good day.
Get a couple
try
dogs.
He's just like hearing us giggle. Crystal, what did you think?
Yeah, as someone who really loves collies, I think that's probably my third favorite breed of dog. As my grandmother had one, and then I had a dog. I love this picture on this poem, because you just see these cute little dogs. Like, and I saw it earlier that you picked it, and as soon as I saw it, I said, yep. Because I saw most pictures were cats, and then when I was like, there's not that many dog ones, and then I saw Sweet pick the dog, I was like, of course she did. but yeah, I really like this, though. You brought the picture to life, and you made it very cute, and I agree with Deb about your voice. You did have that kind of like very sweet kind of voice when you read it. Great job.
Thank you.
How's Zoom doing?
By the time I got there, all the dog pictures were gone. So I picked a cat. I picked a cat, and I made him evil. The cat's plot. Every time you leave the house, they're plotting to take over the world until you get back. But I lost the damn thing. I tried to get the picture on it, and my phone blinked, and it went away.
So I lost it.
You just put me in a panic and like, oh, no, I just deleted the topic. There was no other poems but these two. Okay. I mean, I'm not glad that you lost it, but I'm glad I didn't just cut you off there. Okay. All right.
It was so funny. Yeah. Damn cats.
And, okay. If you guys, I have Phil's and I have Gerald's, and we're done for the night. So if you want to go ahead
away.
And I haven't commented yet.
You forget Linda.
I didn't.
You forgot me again, Deb.
I can't believe it. I'm so sorry. Please come. That's probably my fault.
Sorry.
I love the way Sweet gives these dogs personality by, where is it? Monochrome balls of fur and tails wobble and tumble. Out the cottage door to seek adventure and explore a world of wonders to sniff, lick, bite, or ignore. I love it. And their wobbly butts are so cute. The place where I was living had a border collie, and they're very cute little dogs. But this was a beautiful poem. You gave it life, and the imagery was warm and lovely. And what a great story with heart and soul. You did this picture prompt really well done, and it just this was beautiful. So thank you for sharing it, Sweet. It was a great piece.
Yeah, sweet. For one person that's owned Australian Shepherds, they like to catch frisbees. You can try that. Yeah, try that.
I'll try that. I'll see what I can do with that.
Just saying.
Great comments, everyone. Now, guess who I'm going to call first after we hear Phil's poem. Just saying. So let's click on Phil's, please.
Hey, Deb. This is a poem by Phil the Poet's quotes.
Oh, okay. I was going to have you comment first this time, but I understand. I will. Do you want to tell us what's up with your new show before you go?
Oh, yeah. I have a show on the 19th on Saturday night at 5. It's at 9 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Alaska time for any of you Alaskans out there. But it's a lot of fun. We tell some stupid jokes and have wonderful poetry. So come on down and have some fun. And then next month on the second Friday, I have another show for a team of voices at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and we do the same. So come on by and join us and have a little fun. And with that, I will say adieu. I have to go cook dinner and feed my hubby. So thank you all. It's been fun.
It has been fun. Thank you so much. Love and respect.
Love and respect.
Okay, now.
Love and respect, everybody.
Night, doll.
Take care, Linda.
Okay, so that way.
Show? Right, we'll do that at the end.
And here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Summer on the Porch. The lemonade sun beats down from a marmalade sky. The clink of ice cubes drop into a glass of cranberry juice. The satisfying smack of the lips after a liquid reward. Relaxing in a chair, observing the world from the porch. I close my eyes and listen to the sounds around me. The laughter of children playing near the stream. The humming of the bumblebee searching for nectar. The soft footsteps upon a wooden varnished floor. A shadow of a butterfly's wings attracts my attention, showing off its dance moves between a row of bluebells. A ladybird silently crawls across the garden table, attracted by the aroma of homemade vanilla ice cream. The chorus of bullfrogs fills the backyard with rhythmic croaking. The creaking of a rocking chair mingles with the buzz of a mosquito.
where dogs yap at lawn sprinklers trying to catch a refreshing drop. Purring cats lie with stomachs exposed, blinking in the heat. Trying to read a book, but a green fly lands upon the words. Swiping away with my hat, but another takes its place. So I sacrifice the papyrus to the ants and surrender to the sun, letting the beams of fire turn my skin a goldenrod bronze. End poem.
Now, there's chances of good that I should not be giggling about the fact that they lost the papyrus, but for some reason I am. Excuse me. And the art that he wrote to, I just added to the board as well. But I love the opening there. The lemonade sun beats down from a marmalade sky. Just the opening line is like so gorgeous and tasty and vibrant. I like the shadow of a butterfly wings. It attracts my attention, showing off its dance moves between the row of bluebells. Showing off its dance moves, I mean, that made me smile too. And the chorus of bullfrogs fills the backyard with a rhythmic croaking. And it's just like the sights and sounds that he brought to us really gave life to the art on the wall and the colors. I loved all the art. This particular artist really outdid himself. But I like how he just totally lit up every aspect and nuance from the painting and brought us this piece that brought us into it with him. With bold, vivid colors and images and scents and sounds, and very much a treat. Thank you so much, Phil, and for the recording as well, because it's always, always, always a joy to listen to you read. Appreciate it very much. And let me get you some comments. Let me start with Wayne, please.
Yeah, this is a wonderful poem. He's got all the critters in there that you see in the backyard, like the bumblebee, butterfly, and ladybird, and the bullfrog, and mosquitoes, and ants. So he got all the critters. He's got the drink. I like the drinks he had, the cranberry drink, and the ice cream. His tasty little poem. It's a good job. He did a good job on this. I'm enjoying all the things. He did a lot of color, and I can taste this poem, and I can see this poem. Very good job.
Awesome comment. And what you think, Crystal?
Yeah. I thought I was the only person that was, like, laughing at a few parts. And then the one part that made me, like, chuckle, and I have no clue why, was the satisfying smack of the lips after a liquid reward. I don't know why, and that part made me kind of chuckle, and I was like, why? But, yeah, I love that lemonade sun and everything and the colors and everything that he brings. But I swear I kind of got, like, thirsty and hungry, like, from the cranberry juice and the fresh vanilla ice cream. Like, I like, wanted some of that after a while. But, yeah, he brings out all, like, the tastes and the smells and the sights and everything. And he just kind of brought the picture to life. It's really beautiful.
Great comment. And my sweet?
My favorite stanza in this is, I just lost it. The chorus of bullfrogs fill the backyard with rhythmic croaking. The creaking of a rocking chair mingles with the buzz of a mosquito, while dogs yap at lawn sprinklers trying to catch a refreshing drop. Purring cats lie with stomachs exposed, blinking in the heat. That whole set of imagery is so crisp and real, and it just brought back memories for me, because I used to have a dog that would literally chase the sprinklers as they went up and down. I mean, they turn on, she was there, they turn on, she was there. So it just triggered that memory immediately in my mind. And I think this whole poem is just a masterpiece of metaphorical genius and imagery. I think this is probably one of my favorites he's ever done.
Fabulous comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
Well, right off the bat, the marmalade sky got me. It was so Beatlesque from Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So everything after that was a Beatlesism in my head. I kept had that song in my head, and I also wondered, I pieced together in my head the image that I think he's drawing to, and I'm wondering how close it is. I haven't gone over to the chat line to see it yet, so I'm just wondering how close, you know, from his description, did I get it? Is there bumblebees and the, you know, and kids playing by the stream? So I'll go check it out now, see how close I was.
Well, cool.
And how did he put in an audio link and he can't put a picture in?
That's a good question. I really don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. No, usually you can't. So that is a good question. Anyway. Okay. So here we are, guys. I have one poem left. So before I put that on, Sweet, why don't you tell us what's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the Roaring Twenties. So anything you have a perception about, you want to dance about, jazz, there's jazz, there's fashion, there's great facts about how we no longer could mail children through partial post. The 20s was really such a change in the American culture. Women were starting to wear shorter skirts, exposing ankles, even wearing pants. So it's this very unique curvature towards the growth and onset of what, you know, our country might become. And I really love talking about the 20s, everything that happened within that decade. So that's what tomorrow night is. So I hope everybody comes. And then in a couple weeks, I will be doing just a jazz show, all things jazz. And I have a contest running right now if anybody wants to jump in and do that.
All right. The Rolling 20s.
Looking around for art for that, and came across a burlesque thing that was cute. I sent it to Sweet. Okay, so
that is adorable.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, I like that. and the last poem is on the board by Gerald Green. So if you guys click on that, I shall push play.
Nancy, written in red. By Gerald Green. She sat before the artist one last time, determined she would not return. Her portrait nearly finished did her justice, a young mother with a husband she adored. As the session ended, she confronted him with her confession. He'd won her heart in innocence and did not know. Her good marriage was assaulted by the charm and greatness of the artist, forcing her to choose which one to love. She had to separate herself from him in sorrow, prevent a crisis in her family. But then he could not bear to lose her, his love for her misunderstood, mistaken for a truth not yet revealed. He blocked the door and made her stay and listen, hear the story she had never known, learn the secret of her family. She was the product of his love when young, his only child he had loved since birth, but kept away by jealousy and anger, by her mother who controlled with iron fist. In disbelief she listened to his story, proving what he said was true, changing love, allowing it to blossom with a newfound joy that she had never known. This is a true story of E.E. Cummings and his daughter Nancy.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
That's what I'm saying. Wow.
Oh,
wow.
She fell in love with him?
Wow. As the session ended, she confronted him with her confession. He'd won her heart in innocence and did not know.
Wow. He blocked the door and made her stay and listen. Hear the story she had never known. Learn the secret of her family. She was the product of his love when young. I'm like, wow. And then when you're getting to that point, you're sitting there and you're thinking that this somehow sounds real. So then for him to end it with this true story of E.E. Cummings and his daughter Nancy, it was just like, it blew me away. And I just learned an interesting tidbit that I had no idea about the leadership.
It was too real.
Yeah, it was presented in a really clever way. Always impressive, and this is no exception. Like I said, that little bit of trivia, that detail that leaves you with, wow, at the end, it is pretty awesome, too. Fabulous share, Gerald. I appreciate it. And the details there, I didn't see that end information coming. Wow. Great share.
So he was a painter? He was a painter also? He was a painter?
Was he?
He painted. She's posing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and comment. Can you comment more?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful but sort of, I don't want to say disturbing because it's not, but the true to life faction that when he wouldn't let her leave to confess what it was the moment that she knew something about him. She had fallen in love with him, I guess. That's a true story. There's more to it I'd like to know. When did E. Cummings live? What, early 20th century? Or was it E. Cummings? I don't know if he's had it, look it up.
He was 1894 is when he was born, and he died in 1960.
Okay,
he had to come clean and tell her the deal because she had fallen in love with him. Very thought-provoking, too. Geez.
Wow. That's the time of Lewis Carroll also. He's alive at the same time. That's interesting.
Yeah. Great comment, Heather. Great question. My sweet, what did you think?
Well, I think it's really brilliant the way he tells it. I mean, you can't. The young girl obviously was, there's something about, you know, E. Cummings that she wanted, longed for, forlorn. You know, there's something about him, and he fulfilled this need in her, which obviously he did because it was actually her father, but she didn't know it was her father. So to learn, you know, that you had fallen in love with your father, there's so many different variations of love. She obviously felt it was a romantic love, but then the whole relationship changed when she found out it was her father. And I think he does this incredibly beautiful story of taking the sorrow that weighs on the lonely and the forgotten and making it just really people understand that this wasn't like she knew it was her dad and she fell in love with her dad. No, she had never met him. She didn't know who he was. And through this interaction, she felt the warmth and all of this from him because he knew he was her father. So I think a lot of people go into this as incestual. I can't say that word. But it's not. It's really another mosaic level of emotions that we have.
Yeah, it sort of explains how clannish we can be. There's been teachers who study their students when they first arrive to their class. They'll put chairs, arrange chairs in certain ways that will show that eventually, because it kept mixing up how they were, the chairs were by the tables and such, that it ended up the being very clannish is what he called it. The blonde blue eyes were over the corner. The Islanders were in one corner. These tend to gravitate to your own, to your what looks like you, I guess, or what you can relate to more. And it's a true fact. I think that's it, because at that time in the 1890s, there's no TV, there's no radio. There are very, very lonely times. And I think your emotions and your senses are very sharpened more then than they are now. I think we're numbed by the internet and the TV and the radio, you know, all technology. So there is a further explanation of why she had fallen in love, or thought she was, to her father, of course. A very familiar, something familiar that she didn't know. So I think it's very explainable. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sweet. I'm sorry.
No. I guess it was very for sure. And I guess the last poetic comment of the night goes to Mr. Wayne Gent.
Well, this is a wonderfully true story, and he did a good job of the take on the father and daughter reunion. And I like to learn something tonight. I like when I learn something. And the poem kind of, you go along with the poem, it's kind of a nice poem, and you listen to it, and it gets very, and you find out true poem, just kind of grabs you and shakes you, because it kind of brings the reality back to it. So it's a very good poem, good job with it, and I enjoyed it a lot. My football team's doing great.
Yeah, it sure is. Great comment. Couple of you guys are like kicking butt, and then some of us just can't seem to get it going this year. But yeah, and I don't want to put poor Hatter on the spot, but you're on a roll. But I think that AP's having some beginner's luck there. So it's like any given Sunday.
I'm so mad. I'm so upset. All you guys, you saved your best week for me. Look at the scores.
For you, yeah.
You know, man.
But, yeah. So anyway.
I'm still lost. So maybe next year I'll understand everything.
But, yeah, I was going to say, it's beginning, and Joy's kicking butt and taking names, that's for sure. So it's just like, you know. So
yeah, you know, she knew nothing of the fantasy leagues when you asked her, and she was a very, you know, not for sure if she wanted to do it, all this. She right now is Miss Fantasy Football, okay? She knows all about it. She knows about the trades and waivers and all this. So, yeah, she's grasping it. It's just a learning experience for everybody.
That's really cool, though. I'm glad, because
that means,
you know,
excited
for next week.
Yeah, you beat me last week,
Wayne. Yeah, sorry about that. I got AP this week. I'm going to burn AP this week.
You know, I meant to give him the business when he said last night. He said last night or the night before on the radio, on the air, he said something about how fickle the thing is, and that he doesn't get it, and I'm sure he'll get better. Man, he got the highest score of anybody, 190 something. Come on,
right?
AP, you're kicking anybody's ass.
He's got 171 to your 152, so he got you by almost 20 points there.
He had a player tonight. Yeah.
And the Eagles did not win, so now they are 8-1. Anyway, all right, so let's wrap this up. Let's not forget to hang out with my sweet tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern for the Roaring Twenties. And on that note, I want to thank my amazing board members, Sweet P and Heather and AP Taylor. Love doing these shows
Wednesday.
With you guys.
Wednesday.
And, go ahead, Heather.
Wednesday. We're doing music. Yeah, The Doors. Robbie Krieger, Ray Manzarek, and Jim Morrison. The Doors. Be there, be square. Sunday, Saturday.
We're going to the other side.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I loaded all the songs that you sent, so if you come up with some more, let me know.
Cool.
But in the meantime,
okay,
again, thank you to the amazing board, and thank you to Kay and Stephen and Lockdown Marks and Heavenly Angel and Sea Hope, Titus, and Laughing Soul, and Phil the Poet, and Mr. Wayne Gent, and Gerald Green, and Liquid Damage, Linda. You're all awesome. The poetry tonight was amazing. I appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart with love and respect, and have her call out a song, and I shall push play.
I had fun tonight, guys. Good job.
I get pork chops here right after this show. Pork chops are great. Let's go. Oh, wow. Let's do. Can you play one of the Doors? Play one of the Doors. Any one of them.
Here we are. What do we do? Where's Doors? Here they are. Okay.
There we go. By my fire.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on.
And we're tuning it down to remind everyone that my show next week is going to feature some quotes from the poetry of none other than Gerald Green and some art by Abraham Hunter. So be sure to click on the link and get your art early before somebody steals the one you want. And on that note, see you tomorrow and the Doors with you on Wednesday. Good night, everyone. Love and respect.
Good night.
Thanks, Pat.
Bye, Deb. You're welcome.